Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Said his bonehead of the week was going to be his dad. I immediately had a vision of him sending you a selfie of him hitting like a 6-foot bong between his legs.
And he found the bong. Yeah.
Would have been incredible.
If you missed this yesterday, my 20-year-old nephew asked my dad 3 times at Thanksgiving dinner if he had a bong.
Somebody from the 870 says, I'm picturing Frank and Estelle Costanza having contact surgery.
Yeah, it's Frank and Estelle morphed with Morty and Helen Seinfeld versus, the folks on Everybody Loves Raymond. It's just a hodgepodge of those three families mixed into one.
Oh, it's fantastic. So former Chief Tyrann Mathieu was on Kay Adams' show yesterday. She was in Kansas City doing the FanDuel release because I believe her show is brought to you by FanDuel. By the way, you can get all your bets legally in on the Missouri side. BetMGM has some really good props and promos for you there as well.
Cool.
Especially if you're a first-time person on that website, you'll get bonus bets and all that. So Tuesday
did you see
night,
Alex Gordon's bet yesterday?
I did not.
Yeah, he was the first bet. $20 on the Giants to win.
Oh.
Come on, Alex.
He's better than that. Down and bring him back up. I kid. I love Alex Gordon. But no, Tyrann Mathieu was on, and she asked him the million-dollar question, and that was,
can you come back?
I mean, I'm not going to say no. I won't say no.
Are we walking down to Brett's office after this? I'm not kidding.
I mean,
are you going to go visit them today? Yes.
Yeah, probably. Mm. And I've stayed in contact with, obviously Brett and, but mostly, Coach Reed. His grandson actually plays on the football team with my son.
Oh, I know.
So, it's the family,
So that's the Honey Badger, a.k.a. Tyrann Mathieu, on with Kay Adams on Up and Adams, talking about if he would come back. And the laughter and the kidding, he's obviously done playing football. I don't think he would come back and play. That's my personal opinion. I don't think his value is coming back as a player. I think his value is coming back as like a defensive assistant, because I think we all can agree, and if I'm wrong in speaking for both of you, I think I could see a future of Tyrann Mathieu in the league as a coach. What that coach is, whether it's a defensive coordinator, whether it's a secondary coach, whatever it is, I think you could see that in his future. And I believe that more wholeheartedly, because when we had Danon Hughes on earlier, he had talked about this.
When we had the linebacker Gay, and he was out there, and you had the juice, the energy, the swag surf on the sideline, and and you had all of that happening. Like, even if you were older in some places, you were able to kind of latch on to that youthful energy, and that would catapult you in certain times where you were just playing football and not making football plays. And I feel like maybe because we have some of those older guys, we don't have that same kind of juice.
So I hear Danon say that. I think of Tyrann Mathieu, and I see how he revamped that defense with Spags if you're going to learn under somebody, you'd probably want to learn under the guy that brought you in and said, you're going to be my guy. I want you to reshape it. And I know that there were times where Tyrann Mathieu was, you know, ill-tempered and doing all this sort of stuff in the air and all that. But, like, I do think they missed that juice. And I'm not saying that Tyrann Mathieu has to be a complete red-ass, rah-rah guy, get in your face. But he's one of those guys that will hold you accountable. He did that to players here. And if you're going to get into the coaching system, why not get into a system that you know, a guy you trust, that you can kind of say, okay, I did it. Maybe I don't want to do it, or maybe I do want to do it and move forward with it.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if Tyrann would be a good football coach, too. I mean, because there's one thing to be a good player, and then to be a good coach, it's very rare. You know, you see, usually it's the, you know, the 250 hitter that becomes the hitting coach, not the George Brett's of the world, because they go, just do. And so, you know, and so I'd be interested if Tyrann could be, you know, a good coach. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm fine where he is at this point in my career and where he is in his point in his career and, you know, and doing his thing. The other thing is, you got to make it really worth these guys' while. Now, you don't see a lot of former players anymore going into the coaching side of things because they've made enough money. They don't need to continue their career. I mean, I've heard it from how many players over the years. I'm not working 18 hours a day. Screw that, to make less money than I'm making now playing football. And so it's really unbelievable how cheap the NFL is. I was looking at a job posting yesterday. The NFL came across Twitter and it was, it was, who knows? You never know what life's going to present. Right. And so there was a job posting for the NFL for the manager of their communications department, right? I said, oh, that's interesting. I've got a friend that does that at ESPN. Let me see, you know, I'll send it to him as well and see if he's interested in it. Do you know what that salary paid in Midtown Manhattan? This is how cheap the NFL is. $90,000 to $115,000 to live in Midtown Manhattan, and they say, we're not helping you with relocation.
What?
So this league
what would
believes...
What be like terms here, like $35,000 a year?
I don't know.
In Kansas City?
Maybe. I mean, 90 to 115 is not livable in New York City.
That's what I was going to say.
It's not.
It's going to say 40 to 50.
Yeah, it's just not a livable wage. So that's where the NFL is right now.
That's crazy.
90 to 115 to be the manager of communications. You're going to be in charge of, like, marketing the international games.
It's a massive job.
It's a massive job.
You're really making six figures in the NFL?
In the NFL.
That's
barely making six figures.
That is just greed.
Right? And that's where the NFL is. They're so cheap at everything that they do, and so except for paying their players. And when you look at these players that are playing now and they're making all this money, like I've heard Alex Smith, I think, say it at times, other guys, like, I've made all this money playing. I'm not going to go back and work these 12, 14 hour days to make pennies on the dollar being some low level assistant coach. I just don't need that in my life. And so I just don't know how many former players are going to sign up for that kind of work. But I just thought that was, to me, a micro, because I sent it to my friend at ESPN, which is based in Bristol, Connecticut. And I said, maybe you should apply for this job. He goes, I'd have to take a pay cut to go apply for that job. Doing the same thing at ESPN to the NFL would require him taking a pay cut to go do that. And so, like, that's why I look around this league and I'm like, they take care of certain people, but the rest of it, man, they're not paying. And like these lower level assistant coaches, what are they making? $300,000 a year. And if you're a player that's used to making $3-4 million a year for putting in a lot less time, do you really want to go back to that? And so I question that all the time when I hear these players that want to go into coaching. I say, are you going to go into coaching? Because you're going to take a major pay cut and put in like triple the amount of work that you had to do when you were a player in this league.
I wouldn't mind. I just wouldn't mind seeing Tyrann Mathieu like try it out. And I feel like the best case scenario to try something out would be to try it out with something that you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out if it works or not. Plus, you're on like a small sample size. Like, you're here from weeks 14 to wherever the season ends. Mm-hmm. And maybe you picked up on something. Maybe you didn't. Because, I mean, we'd all agree that we'd love to see maybe Alex Smith be a coordinator. That'd be awesome.
Be fun. I would bring Alex Smith in a minute. But again, he was making how much money?
Right.
And how much is he getting on TV to hang out and do, you know, nothing really and get a nice salary versus coming in and being a coach and putting in all that time and like neglecting, you know, everything else that you work so hard. You work so hard to get to retirement. You want to enjoy it. You'll be working harder in retirement as a coach than you were as a player.
Right. Let's get to it. Josh Briscoe.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
You know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play.
Josh Briscoe, you ever had your tonsils tickled, or do you still have your tonsils?
I'll tell you what, I do still have my tonsils.
Five for five.
I think whatever happens the rest of this season, we are going to have some absolutely tickled tonsils. And I think that has to mean good news for the rest of the season, I think. I don't know, I've heard that clip 500 times now, and I'm still not 1,000% sure I know what's going on, but I think it's a good thing. It's provocative, it gets the people going.
It does, but I mean, real quick on the tonsil thing. So we're 5 for 5 of everybody having their tonsils. I'm starting to think removal surgery was a scam perpetrated by the ice cream industry.
I think there's something to that.
I can
go ahead and find out mid next question if my wife does in fact have her tonsils. I think she had hers removed, but I gotta say I'm rolling with like the original loadout pretty much. I've got my wisdom teeth.
I do too. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if that's something we should be concerned about. So Bob, you've had wisdom teeth this whole time, no problem.
No problem. Never once. Mine haven't even moved. And because I look at the X-rays every year when I go to the doctor, or every year, I guess they take them at the dentist, not every 6 months when I go. But you look at they're just there. They're not going anywhere. So I'm like, fine, I'm good with that.
Yeah, you know what I don't need? Elective mouth surgery.
Right, exactly.
Let's go ahead and leave those suckers in there. If they're not going to cause a problem, they can hang out.
Right.
Speaking of the loadout, Briscoe, what do you need to see from this team this week against a ferocious Texans team playing with fire and tenacity?
I mean, it's going to be a multifaceted thing of like the health of the O-line, and it seems unlikely that Josh Simmons is going to be in that mix. Maybe Juwan Taylor, maybe Trey Smith. You have to have health. You have to have some really solid team performances from the guys that are going to be filling in, and you're going to have some schematic help from Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and the things that'll keep this offense moving at the tempo you have to move at when you just don't think you're going to have very much time to wait and let something happen. Mahomes has had a lot of times this year, sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't, but he's had a lot of times this year where he's just held onto the football until the last possible second to try to make a play, to try to let somebody get open, to try to get that second effort. And we've seen so many times he just gets absolutely shadracked when he's trying to throw the football. He can't take those hits on Sunday night. He can't even wait for those hits on Sunday night because you have to assume that that's getting all pretty sped up, which also means you've got to have wide receivers who can win against man quicker than they have most of this season. Everything is accelerated or else it's going to be a really long day at the office.
Well, yeah, and that's where you have to not be so predictable. I mean, we've talked about it for the better part of a month now, it seems like. It's really only been about 3 weeks, but I mean, the predictability nature of this, you've got to be able to kind of run that football because you have an offensive line, as you guys have mentioned, that's in shambles right now due to injury, facing one of the best defensive fronts in football. How do you neutralize that? Well, it's not drop your quarterback back and let him go to work. It's, you know, kind of keep him off balance.
Right, and I think just kind of the way Andy Reid operates, I think we're probably going to see Rashee Rice in the extension of that, not literally taking the handoffs. I mean, maybe some. We've seen it a couple times. But I think we're probably going to see a lot of that screen game and a lot of those quick slants. I'm also completely fine with them running the football under center even, maybe doing some things with some pre-snap motion to try to get the defense second-guessing with their eyes when then you just do the easy thing of hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt, to Isaiah Pacheco, and try to get yourself 5 or 6 yards. That's one of the kind of like both encouraging and frustrating things is that they've run the ball decently well. We've been talking about it for that whole month, basically, that you mentioned. They've run the ball pretty decently, not like amazing, but pretty well without having anything that feels like a calling card. Like their calling card offensively is like zone runs out of shotgun, and that's not something that has worked out very well. But they don't have one clear identified, like, here's the thing we're building the entire offense out of. This game against Houston is an opportunity to try to sprinkle that up a little bit, have a little more variance, like you said, and be able to just make them wait the extra half tick that comes with second guessing if this ball is going forward, if the quarterback's going backwards, how the offense plans to attack this game. I think you're right. This is obviously in a season with a bunch of important game plans, and this is basically a playoff game, so maybe this isn't a very obvious thing to say. This is the most important offensive game plan of the year, because if you don't have the right thing dialed up here, your season's in real doubt.
Briscoe, you mentioned Pacheco and Hunt. Do you think we see some Damian Pierce this week? I know the forecast would say former team got him, gave him a week to kind of ram up to the game day standards for the Chiefs. Will we see a Damian Pierce sighting a lot this week if they are going to tickle tonsils?
I am. My tonsils would be tickled, but I am... I'm hesitant because I want to see Dameon Pierce. I want to see the, you know, former team revenge game a couple of weeks after things just kind of fizzled out there. I also don't think I'm going to expect it. Like, maybe he does get the elevation and then you see, maybe he steps out there on special teams. Maybe he gets the Breshard Smith carry that you know, everyone's like, oh, maybe we're going to see more of these. It is a pretty tight turnaround. And obviously, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was getting the call up because the Chiefs trusted him in pass pro. There's no way that Dameon Pierce knows all of the pass pro looks in this offense after being here for like 2 weeks. So I think that we could see him a little bit. I'd be really surprised if he got a sizable workload, but I'd like to see him out there. I just think it's worth a shot to try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is worth a shot. At this point in time, you better start doing some stuff like that.
Right.
And you know, I know the pass pro is big, and if we were, you know, 7-3 or 8-2 or something like that, I'd be like, yeah, I see the point that you're making right now. This team is 6-6. I don't give a rip about pass pro. I need guys out there on the field that can run the football and take a little bit of pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. You don't need to pass every single time. And Josh, and I'm not mad at you, obviously, about this, but the first thing we look for in a running back should not be how he handles pass pro.
Right. It's something that makes the guys like Dameon Williams and Jerick McKinnon and some of those guys like cult heroes years down the line. But no, it's not why the Colts took Jonathan Taylor, right? So no, I understand that. And I'd like to see Pierce out there. I just have a hard time imagining that a guy that's been in Andy Reid's offense for 2 weeks is going to start getting significant workloads in that quick of a turnaround when we've seen them not even really want to get Elijah Mitchell involved. Breshard Smith has been here months and months longer than Dameon Pierce. Pierce has some NFL experience, so maybe there's a little bit of a speed up in that learning curve. And a running back is different than a wide receiver in terms of, I do think it's a little easier for him to get involved than he would be if, you know, even than like the DeAndre Hopkins ramp up, who obviously got involved early and then kind of faded last year. There have just been so many of those weird things within the, like, well, let's see if this guy can come in and patch up this spot in the offense. Sometimes we've seen it work to a decent degree. Sometimes it's just been a quick footnote on the history of the season. I'd like to see him against Houston. I think keeping your expectations lower on overall snap counts is probably the way to go. I'd take the under on 10 snaps, absolutely. I'm trying to decide if I take the under on one snap, because I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he gets called up.
When you look at this team all season long and the stuff that you do, obviously pre-post game, you eat, breathe, sleep Chiefs, what's the one thing that has frustrated you this year so far with the Chiefs? And I'm sure there's a laundry list.
Yeah, but I want to give you the one, because I have like a defensive one that I think might be the biggest problem, but that's not the question. The question is the most frustrating one. And I think the most frustrating one is that the offense, for whatever reason, the offense has just seemed to add up to less than the sum of its parts, where you do see an offensive line, obviously banged up now, but for the first, you know, 12 weeks of the season, the offensive line was a healthier, almost best case scenario version of the offensive line. Josh Simmons just looks like a dude instantly. Kingsley Suamataia it's unfortunate that we're not spending more time talking about him, because there have been other offensive issues. If the offense was rolling right now, we'd be talking about Kingsley a lot, because it is a incredibly impressive and kind of unlikely development arc for him, where he's just been good at left guard instantly and gotten better pretty much every week. Juwan Taylor has the penalties, but outside of that, which it's, you know, that's a part of his story, he's been very, very good at right tackle, and Trey Smith is very good when he's not injured. Is, you know, a recent thing for this year. You have all of that. You have the wide receiver group being in a better place than it was last season, and the offense still seems to move more slowly at times, or they still disappear for those chunks of time. When you think back to the pulling teeth of last year's offense, it was just productive enough, and it was just good enough in key moments. And this year, all of those numbers should add up better, and they just haven't clicked into place. So that's the thing, you know, at midnight staring at my ceiling thinking, man, just what could have gone differently? What did I think was going to go differently? What do we all think was going to go differently? Because if you would have told me before the season, hey, I'll be talking to the guys on December 2nd, the Chiefs are 6-6, I'd go, oh no, what week did Mahomes get hurt in? And he's been out there and he's played pretty good, not perfect, but pretty damn good football. So to me, that's the thing that really has stuck with me, is that it's just the offense hasn't added up the way that it looks like it should have on paper.
And you know, I don't hate to say this, because you mentioned mentioned everybody but Patrick Mahomes on that, you know, kind of that rundown of everything that should be good. And I mean, he's had very bad moments this year. The interceptions have been brutal. He's taken some sacks, the one in the Dallas game. What are you doing? Throw the football away and that kind of stuff. And so he's not hitting on deep balls as well as he used to right now. So are we afraid to say maybe the quarterback has regressed a little bit? Because if he doesn't have the interceptions against Jacksonville, he doesn't have the interception against, I don't know, Denver. We're talking about two more wins on the schedule, and we're not talking about a team that's in desperation mode right now.
Yeah, I want to be careful how I choose my words here, because I think it's reasonable to point to the mistakes and say that, hey, Patrick Mahomes' mistakes and the things that have set them back this year out of his hand, those matter, and those are things that he's at fault for and things he's talked about. I also just think that he's the least of the legitimate problems. The thing I hesitate with is that just to me, it reminds me, I don't know that this is the case now, but some of these efforts from Mahomes remind me of how it felt, especially last week against the Cowboys. It reminded me how it felt late game Bucks Super Bowl, which is, again, not, it doesn't add up because the talent is better, but where you have some of these like superhuman efforts that either get completed but not for enough, or they get dropped and they hit Darrell Williams in the face mask back in that Super Bowl. And some of those moments where it feels like the trust has fallen from the offensive line quicker than the O-line deserved to lose that trust this year. So I think that there has been some of those signs that compound when it feels like Mahomes isn't as confident in his surroundings. And I think that that can be roster. I think that can be talent. I think that can be coaching, where when you have an offense that can disappear for the middle two quarters of a game, or that routinely struggles to start fast. They started fast against Dallas and then disappeared in the second and third. When it just seems like you always have an act of the game where the offense goes three and out at an untimely moment, it seems like to me Mahomes starts kind of trying to ramp back up into some of that superhero stuff that he does better than anybody, to be clear. Like that he and Josh Allen can do at a level that absolutely can save your team and save your game. I would love to have seen a version of this offense this year that had a couple of those calling cards we talked about earlier, that has a couple of those easy buttons where Mahomes can know he can rely on XYZ, not the receivers, but just three different things that are always going to be a steady part of this offense. And so little about this offense has felt steady this year.
Yeah. And you know, I asked that because I wonder if Mahomes has a little bit of PTSD from having a bad offensive line, you know, for the last couple of years. And his first instinct is to not trust the offensive line, when his first instinct should have been all along to trust that offensive line.
Right. And I mean, we all remember why he would have that proverbial PTSD that built up, because we have seen that happen. And a lot of times it's the combination, like I mentioned earlier, of it's a combination of trying to get every single second you can back there, partially because you're, you know, backing up and afraid of your O-line, and also because you need your receivers to get that extra half second to try to get an angle on a defensive back they haven't separated from. And I think the receivers have in a lot of ways kind of underperformed some benchmarks this year. But again, it's really hard to isolate players and coaching in the NFL when it's all so tightly wound together. I do think there's something to that where Mahomes has... he has trusted a much better offensive line, not enough more than it's improved, if that makes sense. The O-line is better than I think what he has probably shown trust in. Mm-hmm. I do think, maybe I'm finding another positive slant for you here, but I think that we saw him earn that trust in Josh Simmons quite quickly. Like, that's been a guy that you do, and again, we're probably not going to see Simmons. That relationship seems to have bubbled up like instantly, and then even when Jalen Moore was out there playing pretty good, that I think kind of sparked some of that again for Mahomes. So it is all of these moving parts. They are all intertwined and interconnected, but I think that's how you can look around and you can say, hey, a lot of people did good things this year, but a lot of these, I mean, really everybody involved can take some slice of the blame.
Wouldn't be doing my job. Does your wife still have her tonsils?
I don't think so. Hold on, let me check. Renee, do you have your tonsils? She says no.
Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Well, hey, your other homework is to go listen to the Loadout / Stay by Jackson Browne.
I know, my top five favorite songs. Thinking of that.
Wow.
Yeah, baby. You better believe it.
Listen you got to listen thing. To them both.
Yeah, the whole thing, front to back. Yeah. Into there. Briscoe, keep doing the Lord's work. We'll listen to you on Sunday, pre and post. Late night for you. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
I have pretty much factory settings, but if anyone knows how to reset a pancreas, I would love to do that.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
That's Josh Briscoe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.